welcome, friends, to this, the Thursday morning edition of the Grace Hour. Again, broadcasting live right here from our studios, which are located at our ministry, the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. And thanks so much for being with us on this Thursday edition of our broadcast. I want to welcome you to the Grace Hour. For those of you that are familiar with our broadcast, welcome back. For those of you that may be new to our broadcast, well, we hope that our daily messages will encourage you and help you learn more about your faith in a practical way. We appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to be with us. And over the next 45 minutes or so, we will continue to develop our theme, which we have been doing throughout this week on the Grace Hour, on the subject of getting wisdom. Today, in particular, we'll focus on a passage from the book of Proverbs, which says, "Wisdom cries out in the streets." I want to remind you, of course, that you can join us during the broadcast as well. The phone lines are now open, and we'll keep them open during the entire program. And if you'd like to weigh in with a comment, a question, or share some wisdom with us, please feel free to do so at the following numbers. Toll free in all of North America, that number is 800-338-7060. Once again, that's the toll free number throughout all of North America, 800-338-7060. And if you're listening locally in the Baltimore area, we would encourage you to dial 410-483-3700. And of course, the chat is also available for you if you'd like to ask a question that way or share a comment, please feel free to do so. And our theme throughout the week here in the Grace Hour has been the value of wisdom. And in particular today, as we see wisdom personified in the scriptures, and in particular in the book of Proverbs, we see wisdom crying out in the streets. And I guess we would ask the obvious question, what does that mean? Why is she crying out in the streets? And I think Pastor Schaller, who is joining us in the studio today, and my name is Pastor John Love, will be your host for today's broadcast. I think it makes sense that if she's crying out in the streets, she is looking to be found, discovered, and is available to anyone who wants to listen and anyone who seeks her. And I suppose the second question beyond that is, what exactly is her message?
Yeah.
What is the message of wisdom? And why is she crying out in the streets? Why is she making herself so visible that way that anyone and potentially everyone could hear what she has to say? These are great questions. The book of Proverbs poses these questions and answers these questions as well. And of course, that's going to be what our discussion will be about today. So again, if you'd like to weigh in, don't hesitate to do so. Pastor Schaller, I guess we could ask that question. If she's crying out in the streets, just like we would come across someone, let's say, for instance, that was crying out in the streets or walking through the marketplace or in the shopping mall, and they begin to cry out and they have something to say. What are you trying to say? What's the message?
Well, the first message, and we can go right to that text and say, wisdom cries in the street, in the markets, she raises her voice. And then she says, how long, you simple ones, will you love being simple? In verse 22. So the backdrop, I mean, we can go into specifics, like, for example, not drinking alcohol or taking care of your family or being honest at work or being dedicated or having integrity. There are many messages in wisdom. The book of Proverbs is all about it. Okay, but behind it in the landscape of the picture, or the background of the picture, is a fundamental message that we are foolish, that we are simple. And the Hebrew word means open, open-minded, open mouth, open door. Like the word simple means to be open. So I think of a house where you don't have any doors on the house, or the windows are gone, but the space for the window is there. So birds can fly in, insects can come in, animals can come in the house, and so on. So people's lives are open. They have no filter. And I think this is a message from wisdom, like you love it this way. But then he says in verse 23, turn at my reproof. Like, I will correct you. I will give you a message. I will draw you to myself. Turn at my reproof. I will, two things. I will pour out my spirit unto you. And then number two, I will make my words known to you. So in a way, we have a need for a refurbishing, a redoing of our life. So we start out in a bad way. Well, in a bigger context, we were first made in the image of God, and it was very good when God made us. Then we fell in sin, we lost God, and we're suffering. We don't have wisdom. So wisdom cries out, gives us the gospel, makes known the Spirit to us, and the words to us. Maybe, Pastor Love, you could comment on that. The two things that are very much needed in order to get wisdom is to have the receptacle for it, the new nature, to have a capacity to hear it, because without that, it's like pouring water on the ground.
Yeah, and that's what, through Jesus, he's the personification of wisdom. He's the wisdom of God.
Yes, he is.
He said just that, you must be born again. Mm-hmm. Without that new nature, without that capacity to understand spiritual things, eternal things, we will forever remain in our foolish condition.
Well, so can you just hit a few points about foolishness? Why do we suffer, and what are some of the reasons and bad decisions we make?
I think we listen to all of the other cries in our culture today, because wisdom is crying out in the streets, but we could say money is also crying out. Success is crying out. Popularity is crying out. The need to be loved is crying out. The need for relationships with people. These are all voices that we hear in the streets. And found in amongst them is the voice of wisdom. Mm. And perhaps wisdom, you know, is drowned out by so many of these other cries, because so many people choose to listen to those voices rather than to the voice of wisdom.
Mm. Very good. Very good.
It just seems that way in our culture today.
Yes.
And the interesting thing about wisdom, it says that she's in the marketplace. That's where everybody goes.
Uh-huh.
It's crowded there.
Yes.
And some people, you know, will hear her cry and have the opportunity to listen to her. And some people that don't want anything to do with wisdom might even bump into her. You know, she is out there. She is crying out in the streets. And it's a beautiful picture, I think, of the gospel that is to be taken to all the world, and just to tell people that there is something more than the folly that they might have been living in throughout their lives.
Have you ever looked in the newspaper or noticed in the news somebody that has unfortunately been hurt or suffered, and you just automatically go back to, well, that could be me, and then also, why wasn't it me? And what if they had had wisdom and had made other decisions, that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's interesting, my daughter was, she was FaceTiming me the other day. They were walking through Boston, Boston Commons in the city of Boston up in Massachusetts. And I said to her while she was walking through that park, I says, you know, that's the first time that I ever heard the gospel. A man and his either girlfriend or wife, he stood up on a park bench in Boston Commons, and he cried out to all of us that were within earshot, and he shared the gospel. I said, that's the first time I ever heard the gospel in my life. And he was crying out. You couldn't help but hear him.
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't. You said, well, what is this man saying? Why does he think it's so necessary that we have to listen to what he is saying? But he, like wisdom, he was crying out. He wanted to be heard. And in much the same way, like wisdom cries out in the streets, walks through the marketplace, looking for those that are willing to hear. And it, we can say, the two of us today here in the studio, we heard wisdom and we listened. We turned aside, so to speak. I think a lot like Moses must have when he saw the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. And he said, I will now turn aside and see why this bush is burning, but it's not being consumed. God got our attention. Wisdom spoke, and we were listening.
You know, you mentioned that Billy Graham has preached in person to more human beings, an estimated 200 million, than anyone in history. Even Churchill, Roosevelt, in this past century, Billy Graham had more respect than any of the world leaders. In America's most admired men, Billy Graham has appeared in the top 10 for 53 times, which is more than any other man since the list's inception in 1948. You know, who was the most admired man in America? And who was it? Billy Graham. Wow. Top 10 all the time, every year. Why did we admire Billy Graham?
The message was it was dripping with wisdom.
Yes,
even to this day, when you hear his conferences and his rallies, and you watch them from the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, yeah, they still have such a drawing, such an appeal.
Yes,
it's a winning message that he shared with the world.
Yeah, he had the word.
He had the word of God.
And I listen to them now, and I am amazed how much Bible is in his message, and how he did not hold back.
Yeah,
and he just gave it out, and wisdom crying in the street, like you said. But then it doesn't always fall on good ears.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's a lot like Jesus talked about the seed and the different types of soil. I mean, that's how it works, right? I mean, the different types of soil are the different types of souls and men and women's hearts. The seed is always the same. It's always powerful. But it depends upon whether a person is interested in it, wants to hear it, is willing to allow it to speak to their hearts.
You know, before the program, we were talking a little bit about this golfer, John Daly. You're a little bit of a golfer. You know about him. What do you know about him, Pastor?
Well, I know that at one time he was very, very successful. And I think I can recall when he first started to golf in a professional way, he made a great impact. But then my understanding was he came up, you know, I think he might have turned his back on wisdom because he got involved, I think it was alcohol and gambling and... His golf game has not quite been the same since.
Yeah, I have a short little biography here. He had his first beer when he was 8. He wasn't much older when he had started drinking his parents' wine. Then went to Jack Daniels. He first tried the famous Tennessee whiskey when he was 14. He also had a great golfing game, big, strong guy, could drive the ball really far. They couldn't imagine. Well, he won the PGA championship when he was 25. He won golf's 4 majors, but he couldn't get the control over his, bad habit of drinking. So he was on the top of the world for a while, but then in the year of 2000, the PGA's list of golfers, he was down at ranking at number 507. He had sunk 3 marriages. His 4th wife was indicted in a Mississippi federal court on drug and illegal gambling charges, and his gambling losses totaled between $40 and $50 million. And yet, after all that, he just said, I tried to stop gambling and drinking, but I become miserable, and I just say, there's no way I can stop. So he just keeps at it, you know. And I believe he's still alive today, right?
So, yes,
so
he is.
Like this is, and we know some other stories, you know, of this. So, what if you had never had a drink? What if you had, but you changed? How about it?
Yeah, that can make all the difference in
your
life.
I mean, is wisdom crying out for our lives?
Wisdom cries out every time alcohol may be offered. Let's say, for instance, in a restaurant. Wisdom speaks and says, not interested. I know about the destruction that has been brought into so many lives. At times, I even say, you know what? I have a close friend who's been struggling with alcohol since he was a child. And at one point, his alcoholism took a life, another person's life. I said, I am not interested. I don't want anything to do with alcohol. And I say that in an unashamed way. I have no problem saying it because we know the destructive nature of it.
Yes.
And if you know that something is that dangerous and that destructive, not only do you stay away from it, but I would imagine you would even warn others to do the same.
You know, another way of thinking about it, too, is that sometimes important people are people who do not drink. I know, let's say, Abraham Lincoln didn't. Robert E. Lee, who was the head of the Confederate Virginia Army. There are Jewish people that are successful that do not drink. There are leaders, there are athletes that do not drink. As a way of life. So why can't I follow? And even if you take the religious thing away from it, like it's not religion, it's just wisdom. All right, so how many car accidents happen because of drinking? How many accidents running machines or an elevator or some, you know, machine? How many drug related problems are connected with alcohol? How about bad words between your wife or your best friend that breaks a relationship, and so on? So, I guess we're just making a good case here that wisdom it does exist. It's needed in life. And the beginning of it is the new birth, coming to Christ, and getting a heart, and then being around wise people, and what's going to happen into your life.
Yeah. I mean, that choice of spending time, being in the presence of people that have wisdom, and that have listened to wisdom, and have given wisdom a place in their hearts, I don't think that you could say enough about that. Perhaps there isn't a greater decision in life for, let's say, a young person than the company that they choose to keep. I mean, that's going to impact you in a profound way. And I mean, I think I can speak from experience on the negative side of that and then the positive side of that. As a young person, not heeding the wisdom of, you know, staying clear of the wrong crowd, that brought a lot of trouble, a lot of heartache, a lot of difficulty in my life. But then, with a new heart, with a new nature, being born again, you start to make those new relationships in the body of Christ. And that's only been beneficial. That's only been a blessing. That's only been joy and peace and fellowship and life. So the contrast is like day and night.
Mm, very good.
So valuable.
What else do you have written down?
Well, I got a question for us. Practically speaking, today in the 21st century, this generation, how does wisdom still cry out in the streets today? What can we do so that wisdom is still being heard among those that are on the streets or walking through life or in the marketplace or in the shopping mall?
You have maybe different levels in society. One is the academic world. I think in the academic world, there should be a voice for our Christian faith. I think Timothy Keller, who passed on to be with the Lord recently, was one of those voices. And one of his favorite authors was C.S. Lewis. And C.S. Lewis definitely was one of those voices. These are people, men that are thinkers who can articulate the message and addresses people in quiet in an academic atmosphere where you are thinking people and investigating and studying and searching it out. So that's one area. There are you have athletes in a more popular way, like in the popularism of athleticism in the major leagues, in the NBA, in the NFL, and so on. And I think athletes have an audience, and they can say something. But then in real living, everyday life, where people really are living with jobs and cars and houses and mortgages and so on, it's the local assembly.
Yeah.
And that's where people can say, it's worth it.
Yeah.
I'm happy to be a believer, and I'm learning. And I have good conversations. I have good times. I enjoy the community. I enjoy my relationships. There's room for forgiveness, for love, for patience. I have found Christ. I have found Christ in the local assembly.
Mm. That's amazing, because that's really what church is all about. It's almost like, you know, wisdom is being dispensed from the pulpit in our local churches.
Yes.
And if you're there, you can hear it and you can take heed to what wisdom is saying. Mm-hmm. What about evangelism, confrontational evangelism? You know, some churches, they don't employ it. It's not a part of their ministry. It's always been a very effective part of our ministry.
Yes.
I mean, I heard the gospel first on the streets.
Mm-hmm.
I heard it just as wisdom is portrayed as crying out in the streets. That's where I heard it.
Yes.
Some people would say, oh, that's, you know, you can't do that. You can't invade people's privacy. You can't just start talking about God or religion. But yes, you can, and you should.
Yes, yes. It's relational. Like when you meet somebody and you have a talk, the thing that people are a little bit timid about is meeting people they don't know. But if you think about it, it's very easy to, you go to the store, usually you go to the same store every week. You get to see the same people, maybe, you know. You have a more likelihood of having a circle of connections, neighbors, people at the store, and compliment them and be friendly and talk. Talk to the guy with the shopping carts and talk with the cashier and go back and see them again and talk about life. I came from the health club. At the health club, who did you see? Well, you meet people.
That's right.
We relationships is like normal part of life. So there is a point that could be made that the more we are involved with social media, the fewer relationships we have that way. And that would be an argument that should be made, like, in socially and psychologically regarding our future. And we don't know yet where that brings people. But I would say I don't enjoy social media as much as I enjoy face-to-face encounters with people. And in those encounters, because you are spirit-filled, because you love them, then you're able to listen to them and talk to them. You can invite them to church. You can talk to them about your family. You can say that God answered prayer. You can show them, you know, give them a Bible verse. You can find their interest, and you can lead them to Christ.
Yeah, there's so many creative ways, aren't there, to share the gospel?
Yes.
I remember years ago listening to a message that Pastor Stephen said that every person has a key to opening their heart. you just have to find out which key it is, you know. What's the avenue? What's the approach that you take with certain individuals, you know? Like you said, you might talk about current events. You might talk about politics. You might talk about sports. But if your goal and your intention is to talk about Christ, you can take
easily.
Those roads and you can
easily.
Get there.
Easily.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yes, yes.
So one of the questions that was asked to us, and then we'll pass it on to our listeners, if wisdom is discovered, if wisdom is found, can it be lost? Can it be forfeited? How do we keep it? Or do we keep it? Or is it really more a question of wisdom keeping us?
Well, I could ask you, like in James 1, when it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So why is that written there?
Because God says, I have it, I can give it to you, and if you need it, just ask.
Yes. And does it imply that you could have it for a while and then somehow lose it and you need to ask for it?
I suppose.
I mean, he's writing to believers.
Yeah.
If any of you lack wisdom, I mean, and I would say for me, it seems to me that I would assume there are periods of time where I lack it.
Yeah. Yeah.
All and of us so do. I can ask.
Yeah.
So then do I lose it? Yeah. Or I ignore it, or maybe losing it in the sense that it's in my pocket, but I never pull it out of my pocket.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like the proverb says, mm-hmm. the slothful man doesn't bring to his mouth what he has roasted. The slothful man can't even get from, you know, you had to go from A to C, A, B, C. Yeah. You can go to A to B, but you can't get to C. Because I'm slothful, you know.
Yeah.
I'm lazy. How many jobs I don't finish because I'm lazy, you know, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. I mean, because yeah. I mean, all of us, I'm sure we have at some point or time or another in our lives as believers have made a foolish decision.
Right.
And even when wisdom said, don't do that,
yeah,
we chose to ignore wisdom or turn our backs on wisdom, and yeah. we did it anyhow, and then afterwards asked ourselves, why? Why did I do that? Okay. Why didn't I listen to what I knew was truth? Why didn't I heed what wisdom was saying? We can do that. So in that sense, we can forfeit wisdom, but even through the foolish decisions, even through failure, God is still in the process of teaching us, and wisdom can still impart something to us, even when we make those foolish decisions.
Sure. It'd be great to learn from our mistakes. And the righteous falls down 7 times and doesn't quit. So, yeah, that's true.
Amen. Well, friends, you can join us. We just want you to know that the phone lines are open. And there's plenty of time for you to get to a phone, dial one of these numbers. If you'd like to share a comment or ask a question about the value of wisdom, or why is it that wisdom cries out in the streets, and perhaps a testimony as to how you have listened to wisdom. 800-338-7060 and locally 410-483-3700. The Bible seems to suggest that the Spirit of God is very closely connected with wisdom. I'm even thinking that there is a phrase in the scripture that speaks about the Spirit of wisdom. So this connection between the Holy Spirit, who indwells every believer, every born-again Christian, and wisdom is vitally important, isn't it? The Spirit of God has a lot to do with the impartation of wisdom and maybe even the implementation of wisdom.
Mm, yeah, well, 1 Corinthians 1:30, for of him are you in Christ, you who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So Christ is defined as wisdom, also in Proverbs 8. So there's no separation. I would say it like this, that if you don't have the Spirit of God, then you don't have wisdom. There isn't any wisdom outside of the Spirit of God, and there isn't any Spirit of God outside of wisdom, like they are one and the same. If we don't have Christ, we don't have wisdom, as we are talking about it in the absolute sense of the wisdom from above. There is wisdom from below. That's like man's intelligence, man's skill, which, by the way, can be remarkable. Man has done a lot of amazing, incredible things by his giftedness, but it doesn't mean that he's wise. He has knowledge, and he may have degrees of wisdom that God can give to him so that he can apply the knowledge. I think science in the modern world is like filled with evidences of man's ability left to himself. And then also, how much prayer has he prayed? How much has God given grace? How much has God helped man to be what he is? But that being said, his ultimate folly is seen in how, when Christ was here, he rejected Christ because he didn't have really wisdom in the context that we're talking about. We're talking about the real thing. When Christ comes, you recognize him. Mm-hmm. You don't crucify him. Mm-hmm. You honor him as the King of Kings, you know.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm reminded, we mentioned it yesterday in the broadcast, in these difficult days that we find ourselves living in, that the church is living in, perilous times, 2 Timothy chapter 3. One of the principal things that Paul brings out when he writes to Timothy is that men are going to ever be learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. So it's as you just described, you can have all of that understanding, you can have all of that knowledge, you can be extremely creative, you can do remarkable things,
yeah,
which mankind has, and do them without the knowledge of the truth.
There are many examples. Let's say we have our technology world. So a man learns it all, knows it very well, and then he robs banks with the technology. Okay, so we have like scientific discovery. Then we use that to destroy people. We have outer space things. Then we use it and we pollute outer space, you know, with our things. Yeah. You know, I'm making it up. I'm not an expert on it, but I'm only saying we get married to have a beautiful family and we ruin it. Mm. We have a child and then the child is molested. We have a fine teenage man, but we take our son and hurt him and speak to him and tear him down, and he becomes a problem, and that problem bothers me. I am able to live with knowledge and be very talented and very capable man, but I cannot have a handle on life as I should without wisdom.
Mm. with all your getting, you've got to get wisdom, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, right.
You really do. And what about the price?
I mean, I don't want to get tired of hearing it.
Yeah.
But I want to know about it.
Yeah.
I want to know about it. Like, I want to know how to live. You know, the Jews were very good at this, that they, of course, because God told them, like, you know, this isn't theoretical philosophy like the Greeks. The Greeks had more like theoretical, philosophical, intellectual models. Mm. The Jews, it was more like, does it work?
Yeah.
You know, does it work? Can you have a family? Yeah. Can you love each other? Can you survive as a nation? Can you defeat Goliath? Can you come out of Egypt? Can you get out of slavery? Does it work? Can you have a king? Can you have a godly nation, a good society of justice? Does it work? If it doesn't work, then you're a fool.
Yeah.
Like, if it doesn't work, you can't do it. You might be very smart, but you can't do it. you can't do it.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And I mean, that's why we love Jesus so much, because he comes into the world and he works.
Yes.
I mean, extraordinarily. He has 12 men, 11 of them, one on purpose, but 11 of them, they love him to death. They don't want him to go. And then he overcomes death. It works.
Yeah.
And then he sends the Holy Spirit, and we are those people. This is what I want. I want it to be able, when everything collapses, I want to be able to pick up the pieces and find out from God how to do it. What are we going to do now? How's it going to work? It's all a mess. And the Lord said, yeah, I'll make it work, because I'm God.
That's the practical edge of wisdom, right?
Really?
It works. He can make it work. You know, a lot of people probably don't realize this, but in the heart of New York City, Rockefeller Center, which is a huge building, there is a huge portion of scripture on the side of the building. It's quoted from Isaiah chapter 33, verse 6, where it says, "Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times." And when a believer personally has that, they have stability. They have soul stability. And with all of the mental illness that we hear about in our culture today, and it's just ad nauseum, it's always, you hear about it on the news on a daily basis, sometimes on an hourly basis. It's all about mental. There's no soul stability in people's lives because they have perhaps heard the cries of wisdom, but they don't listen. And if you want soul stability, you can get it from the wisdom and the knowledge that God imparts to you.
Yes.
And it can produce stability in our lives. And that's what it's done.
Yeah. I mean, my pillow, that guy, Mike, what's his name?
Mike, yeah. I can't remember his last name.
My pillow guy, okay. I mean, his story is amazing. I read his biography, and I love his story. Just a really great personality, running a bar room in a small town, very popular. A guy then gets into drugs, he's drinking, gets into problems, but he's a businessman. He's capable, but he can't make it. He cannot make it. He's probably the most popular guy in town. And he has everything going for him and a lot of laughter, a lot of fun, the whole thing, but he can't make it. He turns to Christ. Now he's selling pillows on TV.
And slippers.
And I mean, and he magnifies Jesus, and he knows who Jesus is, and he loves Jesus. And you see in that man, okay, success, failure, can't make it. He doesn't have it. Jesus comes in. He's got it. He's got it. And he's had his challenging times, you know, in our culture, the cancel culture thing. He's had, you know, stores cancel his pillow and the whole thing. But he overcomes, because, like, Jesus is like that for us.
Yeah.
And we are able to do it and not go back to our drugs or alcohol or whatever it is. That's no fun. That's no answer for us. We have found the way. Wow. That's beautiful. Before we close, Pastor, I want to put a little plug out for this little book. It's called The Little Red Book of Wisdom by Mark DeMoss. It's a fascinating little book. I like it a lot. Mm. It's precious, so I just want to, and I read from there about John Daly and Billy Graham, so it's got some good stuff in it.
Amen. Proverbs chapter 1, as the book of Proverbs opens, Solomon writes and says, you know, it's the fear of the Lord, that's the beginning of wisdom, or it's trusting God. Because as you said, in so many people's lives, maybe wisdom, the first thing that wisdom does is tell us, you can't do life without me. You're not going to make it, you know? And of course, there would be some people that might say, no, I have made it. And you can potentially say that right up until the end of your life. But you take, for instance, the rich fool in Luke chapter 12. He had it made.
Mm.
He had it made. And then he reached that pinnacle that some people are looking to get to and said, my soul, you've got so many goods laid up for some, eat, you know, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And then the next words, you fool,
Oh.
This night, yes, your soul is required of you.
Wow. Very good example.
Yeah, I mean, very good. Wisdom says there is coming a day when you will stand before God, and what about your soul? Have you neglected your soul? You've provided for your body, you've provided for the physical needs that you have and the emotional needs that you have, psychological needs, but what about your soul?
Mm.
Wisdom says that's the most important and most valuable possession you have.
Mm.
Well, friends, we still have a few minutes left if you want to join us. We've received a number of your comments on our chat, and it seems like you're enjoying the broadcast today. We appreciate that. Timmy writes, thank God for the grace hour to get us through these perilous times. Aretta says, thanks, Pastor. The wisdom from above is calling us and calling people to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. Carol writes, the humble hear these things and they celebrate, they're glad, they rejoice. It's amazing to think that the most important step a person can make in their lives is to accept Christ as their Savior.
Mm.
And we don't want to wrap up today's broadcast without telling people, because some of you may be listening, and it could be that through this broadcast today, wisdom is crying out, speaking to you. And if you've never made that decision to trust Christ, you know, at every one of our services here at the Greater Grace World Outreach, we don't close those services without giving an invitation for people to come to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Because without that, you don't get the new heart. You don't get the new start, the new beginning, the new way of living.
Yeah, you know, when you think about your finishing life, you know, I think when I accepted Christ, I was 19 years old, and I had a decision I had to make. One of them was, I could accept Christ now. I don't know what that means or where it will take me. Or I could just live my life and later in life accept Christ, you know. Mm. I could do it now, or if I live long enough, you know, I could do it later in life and get both. I could live my life my way, and then later I can, you know, when I'm 50 or 60 or there's a great need and I do it, you know, when maybe my way doesn't work, I can turn to Jesus. So what do you think of that?
It's a bit presumptuous, right? Because we don't know what's going to happen.
Yes.
It's kind of like Paul speaking before kings and dignitaries, and I think it was Agrippa who said, you know, you almost persuade me to be a Christian. And I think another one said, I'll hear you later about this matter.
Yeah, right.
But was there another opportunity?
Yeah.
Was there another chance to hear from Paul?
Yeah.
We don't know. So I think it would be presumptuous to think, oh, I can live my life the way I want to live it now and then postpone this decision, which I kind of sense needs to be made. But I'll put it off for a more convenient time.
Yes, and you know, it could be I'll never get into that state of mind again. And it could be that on my deathbed, years later, I could say, well, I did do it my way, but I regret it because I didn't really honor God as God. What if I honor God as God when I'm 19 and have a lot of respect for him and say that if he can govern the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and he can govern the planets, then can he govern my life?
Wow.
Right?
Yeah. Amen. Well, we're all glad that you decided not to put that decision off. Glad you made it when you were 19, and glad you folks made it when you did. And if you haven't, again, we'll close the broadcast today and give you that opportunity. A prayer of faith, because without faith, it's impossible to know God or please him. You just simply ask Christ to come into your heart. He'll cleanse you of your sins. He'll give you a new heart. He'll give you a new way of living. And it'll be better than anything you could ever even hope or imagine for. And he's longing to do that. So if wisdom is speaking to you, listen to what wisdom says. Come to Christ, be born again, and have a new start in life with God. Thanks so much, friends, for joining us on this Thursday edition of the Grace Hour. We do want to mention that one more broadcast coming up tomorrow, the Friday edition of our broadcast. And Again, don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Until tomorrow, may God bless you.